Just curious as to whether we have everybody back yet. I see several, but Brenda, Cindy, Joe, are you guys back online? All right, so let's move on then to agenda item 3.
Good morning, Chair Imason, State Forester Doherty, members of the board. For the record, my name is Bill Herber, and I serve as the Deputy Director for Administration. With me, 6 feet away, is James Short, the Assistant Deputy Director for Administration. Today, we are in front of you to present Agenda Item 3, the overview of the agency's 21-23 biennial policy option packages. The purpose of this agenda item is to provide you an introduction to the agency's proposed changes to its next biennial budget and seek the board's input on these changes. So before we get into this agenda item, since we have a few new board members to this effort, I thought I would briefly highlight the overall process in front of us. For the next few months, the agency will be preparing its 21-23 biennial budget for submittal to the Department of Administrative Services, or DAS. James will be talking about in the next slide about the timeline, but generally over the course of the summer, we will be preparing what is called our agency request budget, or our ARB. And this will, through the process, turn into the governor's budget toward the end of the year, normally in December, and then ultimately culminate in the legislatively adopted budget, or the LAB, after the session. That LAB eventually comes into the legislatively approved budget as there's legislative actions or e-board requests as the biennium unfolds. So that's kind of the major products through this effort. So while there is a lot of technical work already occurring, one of the first steps in this process is defining any proposed changes to our current service level. That is a level that defines our base level of operations. So these additions, the agency or the board feels it needs in order to advance the mission of the agency are called policy packages or policy option packages. You'll hear them referred to as POPs. These packages can contain positions, funding, and or spending limitation. And these things are what we'll be discussing today. So in January, James presented and the board approved a set of guiding principles for our budget development process. These POPs you're about to hear were developed with that framework in mind. In addition, they were developed with the current budget instructions as outlined by DAS. These instructions were presented prior to our current global situation, and we are likely to and are likely to change as we move through this process. But it's important to note that we developed these POPs prior with this current instructions that doesn't have any current restrictions. So occasionally DAS will direct agencies to limit requests for funding or positions, but that's not the case as of yet. And it's important to note, in light of the current situation, projections show that the economy should bounce back rather quickly in the next biennium. So constraining requests now might not be in the best interest for future positions. So you'll see POPs move forward absent the current context of the global situation. With that, I'll now hand it over to James, who will discuss the timelines, and then we'll move into the divisions to present their policy option packages.
Good morning, Chair Imason, members of the board, State Forester Doherty. For the record, my name is James Short, the Assistant Deputy Director for the Administration Department. I'm here to review the key dates of the 2021-23 budget process. There are 5 dates that the Board of Forestry should be aware of, as illustrated in the slide above. Last week, on April 17th, the agency submitted the legislative concepts to DAS. And today, April 22nd, the agency will provide an overview of the policy option packages to the Board of Forestry. We'll be back on June 3rd for the Board of Forestry meeting, where the board will provide final approval and input of all the agency policy option packages to be included in the agency request budget. Then at the July 22nd board meeting, the Board of Forestry will review and approve the agency's 2021-23 agency request budget. Then finally, on September 1st, the agency submits the agency request budget to the Chief Financial Office of DAS.
Are there any questions on the general process before we move to the individual divisions?
No, but and just following what Bill said, I'd assume that there will also be from the governor and DAS additional direction that we'll receive prior to the department will receive prior to our next board meeting where we will need to adopt the packages, right?
That is correct. At this point, at the last executive leadership team meeting, the state economists are expecting a severe decline for this biennium, but a rapid bounce back. But there's a lot of uncertainty around that, and in particular, if there is another surge of the coronavirus in the fall. And so we expect, at this time, we were instructed to move forward with, as Bill said, with the current instructions, and you know the overall prediction prior to COVID-19 was a slightly down year or slightly down projection for the 21-23 biennium, and even in those where there's a slightly down projection, they do ask agencies to prepare policy option packages to give the governor an option to prioritize investments in new areas, and we're also required to develop a reduction option to allow that shifting of resources.
Yes, that's exactly right, Chair Imason. We anticipate instructions changing a little bit, but you know, we're trying to set ourselves up in the best position forward as we move through for the next biennium. With that, Ron Graham will be the Deputy Fire Protection Chief, will be presenting on behalf of Fire Protection, but I'm not sure he's with us right now. Is he? Okay, Ron, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Chair Imason, members of the board, State Forester Darty. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. Very good. For the record, I'm Ron Graham, and I serve as the Deputy Chief of the Fire Protection Division. Today, what I'm going to do is walk you through the three policy option packages that the Fire Protection Division is proposing. The first, and hopefully these are on your screen and you're seeing them, is our fire season severity resources. This is a standard policy option package that we ask for every biennium. This is what we call our severity resource package, and this is funding that is not in our base budget, so it comes through the special purpose appropriation in the governor's budget, and as I mentioned, each biennium we ask for this appropriation. This allocates $2 million per year of general fund dollars, excuse me, that is for supplemental firefighting resources, and that is matched by up to $3 million per year from the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund. One nuance with this current SPA policy option package as from previous biennium is that we are asking for additional funds as our large air tanker contract enters its final year. And if we proceed with continuing with a large air tanker contract, we'll have to move to a next generation aircraft, something much newer than the DC-7 that we currently contract with, an aircraft that would be federally approved and be able to be used on federal grounds that we support and then reimbursed. So that is the difference in this SPA POP from the past, is addressing the need for that large air tanker and the additional costs that come with that. The second policy option package that the division is proposing is our fire season organizational sustainability and modernization. This really is based on the work from the past over the fire program reviews, Secretary of State's audit, the fire program and division agency initiative, and then most recently the work by the Governor's Fire Council. This addresses the needed capacity across the division and programs to sustain the firefighting mission of the division. So this is all about positions and capacity and training and supporting our workforce for the future. The third and final policy option package proposed by the division is a severity modernization and an additional special purpose appropriation. So this is completely separate and different from the first and standard severity special purpose appropriation. This is consistent with what we've asked for in the last couple of biennium as well, is the need to address that there is additional funding needed and additional flexibility for the division and the agency to increase our contracting, whether it's exclusive use or call when needed contracts, for hand crews, for individual overhead resources, for engines, heavy equipment, and additional aircraft. As we've seen over the last, you know, several fire seasons, our severity program has been really stressed to meet the demands of the districts and support their initial attack and extended attack efforts. This kind of brings us further than just, you know, moving us to the next large generation air tanker. This gives us the flexibility to implement additional contracting when needed, when those periods of high fire danger are presented to us and we have to look at our call when needed contracts. Currently, the severity appropriation is the only funding that we have to do that. So that would conclude the Fire Protection Division's three policy option packages. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Ron?
Okay, we'll move to Private Forrest. Okay.
Good morning. For the record, Kyle Abraham, Private Forrest Division Chief. Good morning, Chair Emerson, board members, State Forester Doherty. This is a much different perspective than what I'm used to normally at a board meeting, so it'll take me a minute to get my bearings. Just kidding. But we have, in Private Forrest, we have three policy option packages. The first one, supporting sustainable family community forestry. This one proposes new capacity for the division across all ownerships and land uses. Foresters would provide technical assistance to landowners and communities. We would continue to deliver and administer incentive and voluntary programs such as the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds and federal cost share programs such as NRCS. This package would enhance ODF's ability to respond to forest health threats that in particular could impact family forest landowners and communities. And these foresters would look also work directly with landowners, local governments, and nonprofits. You may recall that this was included in the agency initiative last biennium for folks that were engaged in that process. We have pulled it out of the agency initiative, and essentially this will be one of the principles for private forests moving forward. So we think of, when we talked about this in the agency initiative, we really emphasized the WUI forester idea. And now I think a perspective might be that we consider these field foresters, again, providing landowner assistance and forest practice administration. Second one is the Forest Practices Act monitoring for water quality, FPA effectiveness and implementation. As you know, Oregon provides a one-stop regulatory approach for forest practices. We implement the Clean Water Act, fill removal, fish passage, and a number of other statutory and regulatory objectives. The Forest Practices Act specifically highlights monitoring in key areas of water quality, streamside forests, pesticide use, and landslides and public safety. And as folks are probably aware, we have a specific need right now to continue our effectiveness and implementation program. So this option would give us additional capacity in terms of an aquatic riparian specialist, the geotechnical specialist, and most importantly, capacity to fully implement the compliance audit program moving forward. And then finally, the last one on our list is expanded capacity for the sudden oak death program. This was at the request of the Sudden Oak Death Task Force, which is convened by two Oregon legislators, state and national, state and federal natural resource agencies. The department plays a key role in the Sudden Oak Death program, and particularly on the eradication side. So we were asked to develop additional capacity for implementing approximately $5 million worth of treatment in the Sudden Oak Death program, and then also developing the infrastructure and the capacity internally with ODF that would be needed to implement that. So that concludes the three POPs that we have in private forest. Any questions?
Kyle, it's Tom. Just one. My recollection is on a Sudden Oak Death program that there was a fair amount of legislative interest that on this one as well. Is that still the case?
Yes. Thank you, Tom. That is still the case. I think the task force is trying to consider all options at this point for increasing funding. One of those is continue to work with the legislature and then also the POP through the agency.
Thanks.
Thank you, Kyle. We'll move to State Forest. Liz?
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Imeson, State Forester Doherty, members of the board. For the record, my name is Liz Dent, and I serve as the Division Chief for State Forests. We have one proposed policy option package for State Forests, and this is to support and fund our recreation, education, and interpretation programs. And if you'll recall, this anchors back into your October retreat, in which we were asked to put together a POP for supporting this important program. We have attempted to, we've sought general fund for our recreation, education, interpretation programs in previous sessions. So we were pretty well situated to pick this up and put together this POP. The theme here really is about public money for public benefits. Everyone here understands that our program is largely funded through the sale of timber. So if we step back and think about the services we provide that might be best suited for public money, this clearly rises to the top. Just give you a flavor for the services that we provide. We have 22 campgrounds, and the past couple years that's hosted about 40,000 campers. We have 143 miles of multi-use trails for non-motorized use such as mountain bikes, hiking, equestrian use, 461 motorized trails, and 30 day use areas. So really a lot of opportunity out in the forest. In addition to these formal services, the forest really just gets a lot of use just from public access, so dispersed camping, hiking, fishing, swimming. We're really a good resource for folks, particularly up in the northwest portion of our ownership. And then we have the Tillamook Forest Interpretive Center. This is located on Highway 6, and it, in the past few years, has received about 53,000 visitors, provided over 4,000 education programs for over 4,000 students, and just provides a significant amount of forest management interpretation for the general public that comes through there. You can really think about all of this collectively as sort of the public-facing portion of not only the State Forest Division, but just of forest management in general. So those are the sorts of services that we're seeking a general fund for. Be happy to answer any questions.
Liz, it's Tom again. Is this POP, do you anticipate that it is similar in nature to the ones that we have proposed before on State Forest, for State Forest recreation, or are there differences? And if so, how would you describe those?
It really is similar to what we've proposed in the past. So that means the money would go to funding positions and really maintenance of our current program. Given more time, we could look at adjusting it in a way that might be better suited to have support by the legislature, but at this point, this it's framed up very similarly to how we've had it in the past.
And I see Brenda's hand is raised and Joe's, so Brenda, do you want to?
Thanks, Liz, for that. So my understanding is that if the POP goes through, additional funding will come in, which will help the State Forest Division be a bit more solvent than it has or is facing now. But if it doesn't go through and log prices take some time to recover and housing starts take some time to recover, then is it correct that this will place State Forest in even tighter financial constraints?
Yeah, certainly because of our dependence on the timber market, we obviously, our financial situation is tied to that, you know, the ups and downs there. We are looking really carefully and strategically around the impacts of COVID-19 on the timber market. At this point, Brenda, our perspective, our analysis is that we have a little bit of breathing room because we do have a healthy forest development fund balance. That allows us to make really measured and strategic approaches to any kinds of containment, if you will, on expenditures. We are at a minimally staffed level at this point with the agency, and recreation, education, interpretation is part of our core business of State Forests. So any further reductions in that program would be would significantly impair our ability to meet our, you know, the social portion of our mandate.
Thanks, Liz. Quick follow-up. You mentioned that you're at minimally staffed level now. I seem to recall from the current forest management plan there are three implementation levels. So are you at the implementation level now that is the absolute minimum?
Thank you, Brenda. We consider right now that we're at the middle level. So the current plan talks about three levels. One is the absolute bare minimum of legally and contractually required. The middle level speaks to prioritizing expenditures that on high priority monitoring projects and focusing on revenue generating activities. And then the third and highest level of implementation is the full implementation of the forest management plan.
Thanks, Liz. Has there been any discussion about going to the very lowest level if things continue to stay not great for income?
Yes, exactly right. We formed a strategic team in our State Forest Division, and we're setting up a set of financial metrics for us to track over time. Some of those provide very short-term, near-term information, tracking the market. Others provide a longer-term perspective. These are tools that we're always using. And so that what a combination of those tools helps us to look a little bit farther out and anticipate if we're going to have to take significant enough measures that would take us down to the very lowest level of implementation. So we are watching out for that. And right now we see that we don't think that's going to occur in the near future.
Great. Thank you, Liz.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
And Joe, followed by Cindy.
Thanks. I know Ron had mentioned the fire season severity resources and then landowners matching the value of that or the ask related to that POP, the $2 million ask, then being matched by landowners. I didn't catch how large are these POPs as far as value? I didn't see that as part of the information that we received here.
So this is Liz. The State Forest POP is the ask right now for the biennial funding is $7.7 million. And that is really a characterization of how much it takes to fund our recreation program as well as the Tillamook Forest Center. And just so that folks are aware, part of that funding also includes funding for a handful of deputy sheriffs to help where we're paying a portion or all of the salaries for those deputies to provide for the patrolling of our state force land base and to do some enforcement around our formal recreation areas.
And what were the private forest POPs values, Kyle?
Here comes Kyle.
The first one, Joe, is roughly about $3 million. Mm-hmm. So the additional forestry capacity of roughly $3 million. The forest practices effectiveness implementation is about $2 million. And then the final one for sod was, I believe it was $6.9 million with $5 million for treatment prioritized.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Cindy.
Yeah, thanks. Liz, you talked at the front end of your presentation about this POP basically being a recast of what we've done in the past, but that there's the possibility of retooling it to better address legislative interest and demand. What would be the differences between this and a retooled POP?
Yeah, thank you, Cindy. You know, we've got some, we have some new resources that have come on board over the past 6 months to a year. We have a new manager for that's overseeing our Tillamook Forest Center and our recreation program. And then we have a new executive director for the Tillamook Forest Heritage Trust, which is the nonprofit arm for the State Forest Division. And so given time, which I just want to be clear, I don't know that I have, some time spent with those two and sort of garnishing ideas that they may have, fresh perspectives that might create more appeal. So as it's situated now, as it's characterized now, this maintains what we provide right now. So the question, you know, it sort of begs a question, well, if we were to frame it to offer some new and different services, would it be more likely to be funded? Now, if you think about that for a minute and going back to Brenda's question, the challenge there is it doesn't really provide the overall financial relief that would be provided if the POP funded our current services. So that's what has to be kind of balanced out.
Yeah, it seems to me, I perfectly understand your questioning whether or not you have the time available to do this, but given the legislative response we've had in past years, it seems like it would be worth it to invest some effort into trying to figure out how we might shape this POP to get a better response.
Cindy, this is Peter, and actually the legislature has never weighed in on this POP because it's never gotten past the agency request budget and has never made it into the governor's recommended budget. So it's not been, so that the challenge hasn't been with telling the story to the legislature. The challenge has been, has it been a high enough priority for the governor's office to provide alternate funding to a program that is currently funded through the timber sale program.
Yeah, thank you, Peter.
Thanks for that correction.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that as well, Peter. What really ends up being an important component when we get downtown and talk about this stuff is the voices of the counties and the stakeholders.
So I know in the past when we've had some discussions about this, there has been at least some observation that whether we're talking about raising interest at the legislative level or with the governor's office, part of the problem is that there is no obvious correlation between the provision of the money and the provision of the services, as in there's, I can understand from the governor's perspective that these services already are provided and presumably will continue to be provided whether or not the POP is there. And perhaps what we need to do is think in terms of framing it into the particularly with the likelihood that we'll see some reductions as a response to the COVID-19 limitations, it might be useful to frame this in terms of here's what we, services that will not be, we will not be able to provide in the absence of the POP. So that and some of those services might be things we currently are providing. So that we actually end up presenting some benefit for the investment of money that would otherwise not accrue.
Thank you, Cindy. And you're exactly right. I think that is what we have been asked to do by stakeholders in the past. And I'll just say that, again, it goes back to the earlier conversation around resources and this being able to sort of help relieve some of the financial burden, if you will, of running the state forest program on timber-related funding. So at being at minimally staffed levels, I'm hard-pressed to say this is what we're going to stop doing. So I've just not been in a position to be ready to do that. So that would take a lot more thought. Because we're just sort of in a holding pattern, if you will, on the services that we're providing. Our experience in the past has been shutting campgrounds or access only creates bigger problems for the division and for the public.
Any further questions then? Cindy, your hand is still up. Just so.
Got it down.
I got it. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. And some great questions there, as well as the specifics of this POP. This agenda item was an introduction at a high level, so we didn't present a lot of the financial impacts of it or position numbers. A lot of that's coming, as James outlined in the timeline, prior to the next board meeting and the approval process. We'll be getting the board a lot more detailed information on this. The budget staff are currently working on the financial impacts through the position numbers and the funding of these POPs. So more information on this coming, but I think we can provide you with some rough numbers as we work through the rest of this presentation. So next up is partnership and planning, and I'll hand that over to State Forester Doherty.
Board members, this is Peter Doherty again. With Chad, now a U.S. Forest Service employee, at least for the next couple years, and his position is now on hold in response that I mentioned earlier to our unexpected revenue declines. We've made some changes, and Jeff Burns is serving as on our executive team and is serving as the main program manager for our Federal's Initiative Unit under the Planning and Analysis Unit, and doing all things shared stewardship, good neighbor authority, and federal forest trust duration, and has taken over Chad's work in those areas. And John Tkarczak has stepped up as a program manager for the Planning and Analysis Unit and has taken over Chad's responsibilities around the board work, our regular work on climate, and then the climate change work plan. And so there are two POPs here, and Danny Norlander, our climate forest carbon specialist, will speak to the first one.
Good morning, Chair Imason, members of the board, State Forest Authority. For the record, I'm Danny Norlander, the forest carbon and forest health policy analyst in the partnership and planning program. This morning, I'm just going to mention a little bit about the POP that we put together in response to Governor Brown's executive order. So that was EO 2020-04, which came out before COVID-19 emerged as an issue in the state. So largely what it does is it addresses some of the parts that are in that EO, and that's broken out into a few specific things for ODF and some general things for a variety of 16 different agencies. So specifically to ODF, we have a report that's due to the governor's office on May 15th. So we'll be working on that. And that report will incorporate some of the things that we are hoping to do and a lot of the board work plan that has already been approved and will be ongoing into the future. So it also includes stuff on climate impacted communities. So we have some stuff in the POP about that. And then coordinating with the Global Warming Commission on setting goals down the road. And that work won't be completed until June of 2021. From the more general guidelines that are set out to the 16 different agencies, boards, and commissions, in that is utilizing all of the available statutes and regulations that the agencies have. And within that is the carbon offset program that ODF has had for about 18 years in statute. And this POP provides some added capacity to start working on that in coordination with DEQ down the road. And also looks at increasing particularly our urban forest footprint so that we can work on some more mitigation strategies and afforestation, particularly in urban environments. So that is a very brief and overview of the forest climate change mitigation and adaptation POP.
And Jeff Burns will talk about the second one, implementing shared stewardship.
And Cindy, I see you have your hand up. Is that a question on the presentation we just had? Why don't you go ahead and ask that? You're muted.
Thank you. building off of the presentations that we had earlier today, one of the real possible promising interagency collaborations that was mentioned was working with ODF&W to identify areas where climate impacts are especially sensitive to forest land management. Is there any, you know, is that something that could potentially fit under that first climate change POP if we had the funding to staff up? Would that be something that those folks could do, or would that be a separate initiative that we have to make?
No, I would say that that's included in that POP. Some of the positions that are included in that climate change portion of that or the agency portion of that is coordination with other agencies. And there is a position that's specific to working with both other state agencies and federal agencies to work on adaptation and mitigation projects. Just to touch on that, about the ongoing work that we have already, is we've been involved with the Climate Adaptation Framework, which is a statewide project with 23 different state agencies. ODFW is a part of that. We have kind of a small natural resources cluster within that. And so I've been working with them closely on that front. So we are working on building those relationships already. It would be nice to be able to add capacity to that so we can have long-term and meaningful relationships with our sister agencies.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Burns. I'm, like Peter had mentioned, I'm the Federal Initiatives Unit Manager, but serving as the Acting Partnership and Planning Program Director. Good morning, Chair Imason and the Board of Forestry, and thank you, Peter, for your time. ODF has a long-standing and productive relationship with our Federal Forest Service partners. We have been working on projects at the local level across boundaries for years now. Shared stewardship is the concept of expanding that success in cooperation on a regional and national scale. The shared stewardship MOU was formalized in August of 2019 by the state of Oregon and our Forest Service partners. And as you well know, ODF has developed a federal forest restoration program that utilizes all of the tools that we can bring to bear to facilitate a holistic approach to the cross-boundary forest stewardship. The Good Neighbor Authority is one of those tools that has shown great success and enabled us to expand our productivity and influence in this area. Currently across the state, we have four federal forest restoration coordinator positions, and I'm in the process of replacing the federal forest restoration program lead. The amount of GNA work has exceeded existing ODF staff capacity authorized in the FFR program budget. With shared stewardship recommendations and the Governor's Council on Wildfire Response, we anticipate a significant increase in restoration and fuels reduction projects across the landscape that would require additional capacity in the 21-23 biennium. For example, a federal forest restoration coordinator position is needed on the west side where a lot of GNA restoration work has been generated but not yet acted upon, including timber sales and additional fuels reduction projects. We believe this warrants a full-time coordinator position that eventually, hopefully, becomes fully funded. That is the goal of the program, to become fully federally funded. This will help enable us to expand our capacity to meet the needs of not only ODF and our Forest Service partners, but the multitude of diverse stakeholders in that region. I'll stop there and answer any questions that you may have.
In terms of rough dollar amounts for both of these two policy packages, the climate package is roughly around $500,000, and the shared stewardship is right around $3.5 million, with the majority of that being in federal funds, although there's a certain amount of general fund as startup. Any questions for Jeff?
I don't see any hands up at the moment, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. So we'll wrap this up with administration, and I think we can keep ourselves on time, even though there's nothing really following us, but we won't keep you here all day. So admin has the most pops, both due to the breadth of services we provide as well as some of the mandated processes we need to adhere to. I will be keeping these at a high level, one due to timing, like I mentioned, but also these are likely to evolve over the course of the next couple of months. As you are aware, we have been working with a consultant, MGO, who is looking at many of our administrative processes, and we want to be mindful of their work and leverage their recommendations as we develop our next biennium's budget. So these admin pops, specifically some of them that I'll highlight, will be changing as we work with MGO. The first one is our agency deferred maintenance and capital improvement. This BOP is a standard one since 2017, where Senate Bill 1067 dictated that the governor's recommended budget shall identify 2% of current replacement value of all state-owned infrastructure for deferred maintenance and capital improvement projects. So this BOP is our agency's portion of the 2%. As I've this is really part of the statewide effort. So in June, you'll be hearing from our facilities management program on specific efforts our agency is moving forward to address its own deferred maintenance needs. But this POP is part of that statewide 2%. Next is our firefighter life safety. One of our essential functions in statewide continuity of operations plan is our ability as an agency to provide wireless communication services and infrastructure. But beyond being part of a greater statewide system, this service is instrumental in allowing us to respond to our wildfire fighting efforts. So this POP identifies strategic investments that are needed to address critical infrastructure deficiencies and enhance interoperability across our wireless communication network. This will be accomplished by rehabbing many of our site infrastructures and upgrading our radio and microwave systems. One benefit of these upgrades is the ability to provide automatic vehicle location services for our firefighting resources. This would let us see where our trucks are actually deployed on any given time. This is critical need if we are to provide our firefighters the next level environment of safety. In 2018, the federal government passed the Wildfire Management Technology Advancement Act, and it mandated, I believe, by 2021 that all their personnel and resources are tracked through real-time GPS devices. So this POP would allow us to implement the same type of system. Although we're not doing it because the feds mandated it or that they're doing it, we're doing it because it's the right thing to do to put our personnel in the most safe position as possible. In addition, as this POP focuses on firefighter safety, there is an additional agency safety officer included to assist us with the work that is driven by the increased fire load that we are seeing. This position was previously in our agency initiative and it's moved out here, much like Kyle mentioned earlier. This POP roughly will be about $2 to $4 million, have about four positions within it of likely limited duration, a mixture of limited duration permanence. Next is our diversity, equity, inclusion, environmental justice / sustainability and government to government leadership. We really got to come up with a better title on this one. But this POP identifies two positions to address various agency needs in diversity, equity and inclusion, environmental justice, and government to government. To better align our efforts with the governor's office and the values of the state forester, we are looking at additional capacity in these areas. This will allow us to fully integrate statewide strategies into our agency culture and promote our efforts with underserved communities, both internally and externally. Our role as stewards of our resources go beyond special interests, and these positions will allow us to integrate our efforts into the communities we might be missing. And likely about $1 to $1.5 million on that one. Like I said, two positions, so critical to move any of those efforts along. Next up is admin modernization. So this is a big one really driven by MGO efforts. As the administrative branch continues to align administrative functions across the agency, it has become clear that many processes and information systems are operating within disparate silos, lack of standardization, outdated technology, and limited capability to adapt to improving business practices. In addition, the agency's ability to provide contemporary services in a dynamic and fluid environment is hampered by our staffing constraints within administration. This POP was outlined well before MGO started assessing the agency, but through their work to date, they've identified the very same limitations. So this POP addresses those issues with resources in several key areas, such as information technology, public affairs, and information management and human resources. This POP is the most likely to be refined as we continue our work with MGO. Likely will be in the ballpark of $5 million with six positions outlined, I would gather to say. Any questions so far? Because with that, I'm going to hand it over to James to discuss our last POP, the Facilities Capital Management Program Capacity.
Okay, the Facilities Capital Management Program concept addresses the workload capacities needs within the facilities program. The program is requesting to add capacity to address the workload capacity limitations in both the statewide and Salem campus operational units, meet the statutory and governor's executive order performance and sustainability requirements, manage the department's buildings and structure asset portfolio data management system, provide facilities management and construction project management capacity within this program Salem campus and statewide operational units, and finally, enhance the responsive adaptation and reoccurring maintenance and investments required to manage the department's extensive network of aging facilities in Salem and in the field. This POP is approximately $1.5 million of personal services and S&S with an additional five FTE. Any questions?
All right, thank you, James. So that wraps up our high-level overview of our POPs and is only opening a discussion with these. As I mentioned, this was an overview introduction, and there's no decision point for the board here today. This is truly to start having the conversations. Our budget staff are currently working on the position of financial components of these POPs, so in the near future, you will start seeing what the true cost of these packages will be. And we will keep you apprised of any changes to our approach as the situation changes regarding the direction set upon the agency. With that, any further questions, or can we move on with this topic?
Kelly.
Yeah, I just got a thought. Thinking back to our last POP that the governor's office did not support, I remember at that time being told by their office that the reason that happened was that our main stakeholders, timber industry and conservation community, could not agree about the priorities, so the governor's office threw up their hands. And it really didn't have to do with the how well put together it was. It had to do with the fact that our stakeholders were in disagreement. And it seems to me that that is going to remain core, especially in the financially constrained environment that we're going to be in. Also reflecting on the fact that we have this memorandum of understanding between those previously warring parties at this point. I would think that we need to have a process, since we now have those two parties more able to work with each other before this goes to the governor's office, so that we can feel that there's been some sort of mediation and that we've got strong support from both sides for what we end up proposing. So anyhow, that was my thought on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We have started joint meetings with our ad hoc group, which is primarily landowners and operator representatives, as well joint meeting with them and our conservation collab. And those are quarterly, and we will be presenting POPs to them as they develop and getting feedback on that, and we're hoping that creates an additional venue for understanding and collaboration around support for our POPs. The other thing that has changed since the last time is the Governor's Council on Wildfire Response was a pretty broad coalition, much broader than our traditional stakeholder group, that came out strongly in favor of those recommendations. And while we've broken out components of our agency strategic initiative from the last round, they still reflect the recommendations of the Wildfire Council. So I'm hoping those two things together. And I think the other challenge that I heard was that they, you know, it was an integrated POP and they weren't sure how to scale it. And so having it somewhat in smaller pieces may help them think about scaling. And so that might be a way of getting some of it through into the our governor's recommended budget. Because it does create a challenge when it's not in the governor's recommended budget. We're not allowed to speak to it as a important policy option package.
Yeah, well said, Peter. There's always a strategy as an agency to move forward with these things, you know, collectively or individually. Last time we went collectively. I don't think there's any right or wrong answer. It just depends on the situation. But I think our approach will behoove us well this biennium.
Great. That concludes that discussion. Thanks, Jim, for your comment and suggestion as well.